Welcome to Negotiating Happiness, the show that helps you find happiness, success, and balance in your work and life. I'm Adriana Fiestro, your host for this journey into entrepreneurship and personal growth. We're broadcasting live on 107.7 and 105.3 FM in New Orleans as part of the United Public Radio Network. We explore the latest strategies, insights, and stories from successful entrepreneurs and experts. From managing stress to building a thriving business, we've got you covered. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Adriana Fiestro, and I'm your host today at Negotiating Happiness, and we are broadcasting live on the United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network at 105.3 and 107.7 FM in the beautiful city of New Orleans. If you feel like kicking back, watching some TV, find us on Roku TV on the UFO Paranormal channel. Hello, everybody. Grab your coffee, grab your lunch, whatever it is that you have to do to get through this Monday and come join us. I'm here today with Ashley Bradley from Yellow Brick Road Photography. Hello, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor.
I am so glad you're here today because I love working with the creative industry, whatever that may be, right? So I'm so excited to kind of dive in and learn a little bit more about your entrepreneurship journey, talking about being self-taught, talking about all of our doubts. I think entrepreneurship is a beautiful journey. However, it goes up and down all the time. So I'd love to hear your story and how you got started. Let's just start off. Did you have a great weekend?
I did. What did I do? I don't even remember, to be honest. Actually, I think this weekend was one of the very few of the whole year where I actually had to sit on the couch and do a lot of nothing. That doesn't happen very often, like ever. So I enjoyed it.
Wonderful. So let's do a quick introduction because that'll make a lot more sense when people find out that you are also a mom and that never happens in real life, right? So who is Ashley? She's a modern portrait and lifestyle photographer and a photography business mentor. And she's based out of Guelph, Ontario. And she is a mom of two athletic boys, 11 and 14. She loves to capture real life moments of love, laughter, and the unique personalities of her clients. If she's not capturing a session, you'll find her spending her spare time with her growing boys, which likely means watching, playing, cheering for, or talking about hockey or lacrosse. It's very Canadian of you. Ashley is also an open book and has a passion for encouraging and mentoring entrepreneurs, especially growing photographers with a desire to run a profitable and sustainable business. Ashley is a longtime owner of 11 plus years of two successful and profitable boutique photography studios in Ontario, Canada, Yellow Brick Road Photography and a family newborn and child studio, and Simply Curate & Co., which is a modern branding and interior photography studio serving women entrepreneurs and small businesses across Southern Ontario, Canada. So this is amazing. You've got so much knowledge and experience. I can't wait to dive in. Why don't you start us off with telling us a little bit about how did you get here? How did you figure out that you wanted to do this?
Oh gosh. Well, it feels like forever ago, but it also feels like a blink, right? It's kind of like when you have kids, it just goes by so quickly, but you've been doing it forever. Yeah. So I started when I was 30, and I always knew I wanted to do something creative, but I also came from the mindset where I needed to work up that corporate ladder, and creativity would just be a hobby. So I started to treat it like that. After I had my oldest, I picked up the camera. I had picked it up in high school and was learning how to do it like in my laundry room, like dark room and all of that. But once I had
like the old school type, right?
Oh, old school. Like it was
right, not digital.
Like, washing machine, and, like, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to date myself, but like, inspired me to pick up the camera. And I mean, I don't think I was like exceptional when I first started. I don't think anybody is exceptional when they first start, but it just was, it was more than a hobby. It was a passion. I was obsessed with it. I would like spend all my time on, back then it was like YouTube was huge. Instagram was just starting. So it wasn't like I wasn't a lot of online resources, but I was trying to find anywhere I could. Took classes, I found people online, and I just did it for years. And then my second son came along, and I just was like, okay, this is what I want to do. I started taking on paid clients, and it's kind of the rest is history, and it kind of just grew from there.
Right. And what were you doing before? You talked about the corporate ladder a little bit.
So I was working in a wholesale business where I basically started as somebody in sales. So entry level sales. I worked my way up to customer service manager, sales manager, corporate trainer. So that's where the corporate trainer part of me and the sort of customer service part of me still sticks around. And that's sort of why I have a passion to teach other photographers and mentor, because I've always sort of had that in me. Anyway, so I finished my role as a corporate trainer at this one company that I was with for 14 years. And the position was no longer, and it was kind of the perfect transition. I had enough clients to kind of get me through, and the position was ending. So it was like, okay, this is my time. My husband basically said to me, if you can make X amount of dollars this year in photography, then do it. And I was like, done. You don't have to tell me twice. When you actually, he kind of doubted me. He did kind of doubt me a little. I'm not gonna
The
lie.
truth comes
And I
out.
was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. So you think I can do it, but you're not 100% sure. And I was like, watch me. Just watch me. So that was all I needed from there.
That's amazing. And yet again, we find ourselves in this theme of out of something that was potentially looked upon as negative, something positive came out and something that,
100%.
ended up being super fruitful. And I love hearing that because it helps people with this mindset of, it's not gloom and doom. We can spin it around. You're resourceful, you're knowledgeable, you are capable. Let's do something in the entrepreneurship realm. I find a lot of my guests have that story and I love hearing it, just because it reinforces that, progress is not linear and it's always, up and down, up and down. So don't get discouraged, basically, right?
Yeah. And I think too, when you're kind of pressed against the wall, and there's a little fire that lights under your butt, right? That's like, I'm gonna do this. And it really does, it does get you going. So
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, when we were talking about before, you had mentioned something that I thought was incredible. You were able to grow your business pretty quickly. So how did you find that transition?
I think because I was sort of working full time while I was working full time. So I had started photography, it was passion, and then it just grew. And I was doing kind of sessions and ideas for friends, and then it grew to friends of friends, and then just kind of went from there. And as I was getting started, I think, sorry, just say that one more time, because I was going to say something else, but
So,
I'm like sick on ears.
how did you find this transition, from kind of dipping your toes in to all of a sudden you're growing your business successfully in such a short amount of time?
So I think because I had a little bit going on while I was working full time, I also feel like I had a style that was of interest to people. People were drawn to it, because I found very quickly that I was able to have repeat clients, which was huge. So in any industry, you want to have repeat clients. So I think as I was still working full time and doing this on the evenings and weekends, once I started doing this full time, 100%, those people that I had worked with before were coming back. So I already had repeat clients. And then this was the time, like, this is how old I am. This is the time Instagram was really just like kicking off. And so I was posting on Instagram constantly. And I think it took off on Instagram, and that was where moms were tending to hang out, and the majority of my Yellow Brick clients are moms, like 98%. And that's, I don't know, I feel like I'm always on Instagram stories when that became a thing. Like, there was a time when Instagram didn't have Instagram stories. That's again how long I've been on Instagram.
Me too. Don't worry. Me too.
As soon as that kicked on, I was fine talking to the camera. Like, you know what I mean? So I think I had a real connection with people, and that just drove my business. And I think the huge thing that always is the word I use in my business all the time, consistency. I was consistent in my style. I was consistent in the offerings that I had. I wasn't doing crazy things all the time. Like, I was very consistent. I was consistent in posting, getting back to people. Like, everything was consistency. And I think that just grew my business. Like, people knew what they were gonna get. They knew what they could expect, and they knew who I was. Like, I was, you know, on camera. So I think consistency is a huge word.
I think it just builds reliability, right? So people know that they can rely on you for, XYZ. So I totally agree. I think that really does help. And I feel like I'm more familiar with Yellow Brick Road because I've been following you for a long time. And I've seen your work. I've seen your work on my friends' walls. So
Oh, that's sweet.
it's wonderful. Yeah, it's wonderful. But I want you to tell me a little bit more about Simply Curate and Co. because that's kind of totally up my alley now, right? I deal with a lot of small businesses and branding is important. And I find that there's a lot of misconceptions around branding. So finding somebody who knows what they're doing with branding is key for your business.
Yeah, and so again, it sort of grew organically. I didn't have any plans to launch a branding business, but about, I don't know, I want to say like 7 years ago, the moms were coming in. And again, I don't need to be whatever, but it's always generally the moms, at least they're still on mat leave. They would bring babes in for their first birthday sessions. And then they would tell me about how, same thing that happened to me. As soon as they had their baby, something kicked into them and they wanted to do something different. And they had a creative idea and they were going to do this instead of going back to their other job. And I was like, oh, well, let's take pictures for that. Like, I don't know what that's called, but like, again, this was like 7 years ago. I'm like, I don't know what that's called, but like, I feel like you could market yourself on Instagram. And Instagram, again, was just starting to get rolling. And I was like, we need to do this. Like, let's set up a time. So we would, the early stages, I didn't even have a name for it. It was, I think you can probably still find it hidden on my Yellow Brick Road page somewhere. I was kind of doing these sessions, but again, not to be inconsistent, I wasn't posting them anywhere because you can't post a baby picture and then all of a sudden post a brand session. It just, my clients would have been like, huh? So I was like burying it on my website, but then it was consistently happening and people were like, oh, I have this business, but I don't know how to market it and I don't know what to do. And I was like, let's take pictures. So I grew from there and it again grew pretty quickly because visual marketing was taking off and people needed content to post. Like, you know, the old web pages needed updating and people found out very quickly that they needed to show their face to brand themselves. So organically, it just happened that women entrepreneurs tend to be at the base of my clientele because I think one, my style is pretty like light and bright. And because a lot of my clients are women, I post women so that attracts more women. But that's not to say that I don't capture men. I do capture men as well, but I think it's just the style. I don't know.
This
But
is something that
anyway,
we
this
talk
is.
about. Sorry, just to point out, this is something we talk about a lot about your ideal clients. So it just depends on who you jive with, right? So like you said, you post women, you attract women, you get along with them, you understand what their needs are a little bit better. So this isn't uncommon. Obviously, you have, family sessions as well. So men are they're in your pictures
They
as
are in
well,
front of my camera.
but yeah, but for branding and whatnot, that makes sense because your style will really define what kind of branding product you get out of it. And I just wanted to make a quick note about how you said, well, I did this, but I didn't post it because it would confuse my clients on Yellow Brick Road. And that's so funny. That's you keeping up with the idea of branding before you even knew that you were branding people yourself, because you don't want
Oh,
to
true.
mix the two brands together because it would denote not being consistent or just being like a jack of all trades kind of thing, right? So you
Yeah,
were already doing it and you
100%.
didn't even know.
A pioneer. Yeah,
Exactly.
no, anyways, so we did I did lots of sessions and then I was like, okay, I need to give this a name, like it needs its own thing. And I just gave it an Instagram and I can't even think. Years. I did, I want to say at least 4 years where I had no website. I literally
Right.
just ran off Instagram because that was just what was happening. People were, oh, I need to market my business. I'm going to look on Instagram. And that was fine. I mean, I probably still could, but I finally got probably about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I got a website and did all of that. And I also started taking on work for interior designers and stagers as an interior photographer. So Simply Curate has basically grown into branding photography, interior photography, lifestyle interior photography. So it's a little bit different than, you know, editorial photography, but lifestyle.
I think we're getting some technical difficulties here. I don't know if anybody else can see this. We're just gonna wait for Ashley to come right back in. In the meantime, I wanted to show you guys what her website looks like. We're just gonna wait for her to pop back in. And let's see. I'm also gonna post it in the comments for you guys. And it is Simply Curate Co. Just gonna bring it up here for you guys so you can see how beautiful her work is. There we go. This is the website that she was talking about, that combines branding and interior design. So she works with small businesses as well, as families. I love these photos. Oh, beautiful. Hoping that our guest can come back on. Of course, it would happen that we would have technical difficulties after we just talked about that. Okay. I love this. Let's look at some of her portfolio while we're waiting. And I have to say, looking at doing your branding, photography is very important. This is the way that people see you in your business and in everything else. If you have a good photographer, they're going to be able to get, you know, the feel of you, the attitude of you. It's not just simply about, you know, pointing and shooting. Oh, here we go. Ashley's coming back in here. Hello, you're back.
I don't know if that, yeah, I don't know what happened. I was like talking and then I'm like, I don't know, she's frozen. Where we went.
Yeah, no, you had popped back out, and I was just showing everybody your beautiful work on
Oh, thank you.
simplycurateco.ca. And we were just talking about the importance of having a good photographer because they're able to kind of bring in the feel of you, not just, you know, pointing and shooting with a camera. So this is definitely a good investment to make into your business because this is the message that you're portraying to your potential clients, right? And you know
Yes,
what?
definitely.
Not everybody is going to agree with the way that you portray yourself to clients, but that's fine. It's almost kind of like a pre-qualifier to see if, you know, maybe we're not, you're not my ideal client, right?
Oh,
So,
100%. Yeah. And I
is
don't know where I
amazing.
cut off. I just wanted to say that I do mine a little bit differently because a lot of people, and women especially, can you hear me okay? Okay, good. A lot of women especially have concerns about being in front of the camera. So prior to my Simply Curate sessions, we actually do a phone call, which is a planning call. I have a custom planning sheet that we walk through. So that helps take away any planning stress. And we talk about everything from location, what we're going to capture, what they require, where they're going to post it, how they're using the content. We talk about outfits, all of that kind of stuff, so that they feel very organized and ready to start sort of planning details before we even think about the session. And then at the session, I'm pretty easygoing, and I like to say that I can make people feel pretty comfortable in front of the camera. And because they've done all this planning work beforehand, the session isn't scary, and then they get a gallery afterwards, or they get to look at the images. So I'm not selecting images for them. They actually get to choose their own images in terms of, you know, what they like. So
right, which is, you know, the whole point of it, trying to personalize. You know, that's what all branding is all about, especially with personal branding versus, you know, if you're kind of like a corporate figure. But obviously you deal with a lot of personal brands or people that have personal brands within the bigger brands, right?
Yeah.
Which, you know, there is a difference. So, yeah.
Yeah, I tend to stay away from the headshot kind of LinkedIn style. That people that do that, great. That's definitely an option and definitely a service. But I tend to stay away from that. I stick with more of a lifestyle feel. People that want to be relatable and approachable, I think, in their photos, and that's sort of where I go for that brand.
Right, which makes sense. Now, what advice would you give to either young entrepreneurs or maybe photographers that are trying to come into this realm? What's something that you wish you knew way before you found out?
Oh, goodness. There's a couple of things. I mean, I think just going again back to that consistency is hard in the beginning because you don't know what you're trying to be consistent at. But I would say you're not going to please everybody. So for photographers who think they want to be a photographer, which means they have to do weddings and they have to do babies and they have to do, you don't have to do everything. You can definitely start with one avenue and expand. And that's sort of what I did with Yellow Brick and then expanding to Simply Curate. I will tell you, I have captured one wedding in my 11, 12 years, and I don't want to ever say the word never, but I don't think I will ever capture another wedding ever. I'm lucky enough that these clients have come back to me as a Yellow Brick Road client. But let me tell you, their wedding, I literally almost knocked over the speaker stand. I was behind the minister. Like, it was a mess. I don't have any visions of being a wedding photographer.
And that's okay. That's okay.
Okay. Yeah. I would also say that you don't want to put all of your eggs in one basket. So I am still very heavily Instagram focused. But my don't do as I do or whatever that saying is. My suggestion is to make sure that you have multiple avenues of marketing. Visual marketing at that, because people really connect with you. So I don't utilize newsletters too much. I should, but I just find more of a connection with visual marketing. So I am looking at other avenues to kind of branch out, because what happens if, like, this whole TikTok drama right now, if anybody's following, if TikTok all of a sudden went away and that's the only place you ever marketed and had your clients, and all of a sudden, poof, one day, those clients don't actually belong to you because the platform is gone. So same thing with Instagram, right? So I have a wonderful following on both of my accounts, Yellow Brick and Simply Curate, but all of a sudden one day, if Instagram just decides to delete my account or what, it's gone. And that would be heartbreaking. I think I would crawl in a hole for a couple of days and cry. But I mean, I do have a little bit of a newsletter that I would work on. So I would say, don't pigeonhole yourself into one marketing platform. That would be another tip. And oh,
And
comparison. Sorry, you go ahead. What were you gonna
I
say?
was just gonna say, not only could you lose your account, but Meta has been down a couple of times in the last year, and people were losing their minds. They were thinking that they got hacked, and when in fact it was kind of like a worldwide
Not even real.
shortage there. Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. And if you
That is
think
scary.
that, yeah, and if you think that it's hard to start a list, right? When you talk about newsletter, you mean just an email list. I think you need to start even if you've got 10 emails. Trust me,
100%.
it'll grow. Don't wait. I waited and I have the same regret. And it's a lot harder now that I'm trying to get these emails together, right?
Agreed. Agreed. The last little tip I would say is comparison is the killer of creativity. So I fully fall under the if you feel like you are comparing yourself to others, whether it's because you see them on Instagram or whatever, no dislike to anybody locally or far, but I went through my followers list and my friend list and I removed a lot of people because I just felt like I was looking at their stuff and comparing myself. So whether it was a photographer that was more senior to me now, years ago, whatever, whether it was a friend down the street, I had to take them off because it was killing my creativity because I was comparing myself to them. So that's what I would say is comparison, consistency, and I forget my other one, whatever I was saying in the middle there, marketing platforms, marketing platforms. So those would be my three tips.
I would also say that comparison also feeds into your imposter syndrome as well, right? Because
Yes.
you're thinking, oh, they're doing it this way, they're better. But people tend to forget that not everybody likes the same things. Not everybody, understands each other the same way. So it's actually probably a really good exercise for mental health, actually, to go through your list and say, I love all these things, but these things are giving me anxiety, or they're making me think too much about my own work. So I'm going to remove them from my feed, not necessarily because you don't like them, but just because it just works better in your brain to say, focus on what you're doing. You create your content, your strategy, you connect with your audience the way that you want to connect with and be authentic. It's probably also really good exercise and authenticity, right? Because it all kind of feeds into it. So that's such great advice, actually. And I get
I
that too. As an OBM, you get a lot of OBMs from around the world, and they're all wonderful, and they all specialize in different things. And some of them have amazing social media accounts. I wouldn't say I have an amazing social media account. I am really grateful for my followers, and I think business-wise, if we look at, where my last few referrals last year came from, they were all from Instagram, which I was shocked. So I think whatever I'm doing is working. But if you start comparing, I only have like 800 followers.
Right.
It's peanuts compared to some of these other OBMs in other places, whether it's the States, Canada, Australia, the UK, and they have wonderful content too. And I just keep, reminding myself that I show up for my audience in a different way than they show up for their audience. So what a great exercise to
Yeah,
do. I
hundred
might have to
percent.
do that.
And to be honest, too, I started doing this before Instagram introduced the mute feature, or there's another feature now too, but now they have the mute feature. So there's people that I probably wouldn't have fully removed. I would have just muted them, maybe muted their posts or their stories or whatever, just because I still wanted them around. It's just back then they didn't have a full feature to like just put them on pause for a little while. So that's a suggestion too. You can just mute them for a little bit.
That's a very good suggestion. And I also want to go back to the whole comment about wedding photography. So just from my understanding of it is a whole other beast to be able to capture somebody's day like that under that kind of pressure. So it's not for everybody, but that's not to say that, it's not the same thing for newborn photography. As long as
Different
you're
stressors.
finding, yeah, like as long as you're finding what works for you, it's okay not to be that person. And also for anybody that's new, I think we've all experienced this at one point or another. We want to be really good to the people that are family or friends or, you know, support network. And sometimes they ask you things that they want you to do that doesn't quite align with what you want to do. And we have a hard time saying no to that support system. It's okay to say no. And, you know, if they say, well, Ashley, you're a photographer, how come you can't shoot my wedding? Right.
I get that all the time from family. Most of my friends know now this is my job, yeah. And they respect that, but
yeah.
Family squeaks in there a little bit, but where it's, I find it is my kids' sports teams. They maybe don't follow me. Maybe they don't know. They just hear the word photographer and just assume that I'll take pictures of anything. Let me tell you, I am not an expert at taking a picture of someone who's running by or skating by. Like, that's not my,
right.
Yes, I take photos of like running toddlers and, you know, jumping little
kids. Not the same.
And I'm like, if I took those photos and then delivered them, they'd be like, and this is what you do full time? Like, yeah, because this style isn't what I do full time. Right. So it would totally ruin my brand in their eyes, because I do focus more on sort of the luxury kind of side of things. And so just to, you know, capture my kids' 40-minute sweaty lacrosse game would just not be the same. So I generally say no politely to that. And know that I'm not a sports photographer. That is its own beast as well. And I respect people that do that. It's not moi.
It goes the same with some certain professions that are regulated as well, right? I've worked in law before, and people would always just, oh, you're a paralegal. Oh, you're a lawyer. You must know the answer to this. And they're like, whoa, whoa, that is not the area that we practice in. And a lot of the time it just comes from an honest mistake or not having an understanding of how everything works. But it irks me because, especially with the creative side of things, because people tend to look at the creative industries as, well, you're just, you know, you're just pointing and shooting. It's like, listen, if that was the case, then everybody could do it this way, but that's just not it. Right. So if we're just pointing and shooting, for sure, Ashley, you'd be able to capture that kid, you know, running at, I don't know, 10 miles, 20 miles, whatever, you know what I mean? And that's just not the case, but people just don't connect the two. I'm not an experienced photographer at all. I did some studio portrait photography. Ooh. Do you remember the old Walmart ones?
Yes.
Okay. That was what I did for
like a short glam.
Glam. And now I laugh so hard when I think about them. Or there are the odd Walmarts that still have them, and it just brings back memories. I do have my own camera, and I like to dabble, but let me tell you, it's not just point and shoot, or else I would be able to do what you do. Okay. Let's just put this out into the universe. Yeah. Take it from me. It's not just point and shoot. This is ridiculous. Stop, you know, like minimizing the art of photography. Thank
you. I think it goes with all creative things. Like you see a painting and it's like cost so much money, and you're like, that is literally like 12 by 12. How is that so much money? And you're like,
because you don't understand hours of your life that are just gone. I'm like, I'm sorry. Yeah. Have you tried to edit 40 photos at once? And when, you know, Lightroom's not working out for you, like Photoshop is just like, meh, I'm out of here. It's not the same. Oh no, it's so funny. And I remember when filters were like a really popular thing, and there are still photography filters out there. But it's not that easy. It's not that, I don't know.
Cry a little tear when I see photos go up on Instagram, and Instagram has made it very easy to slide a filter photos. Remember, old Instagram was like terrible filters. Now they're not so bad, but
the Valencia filter still haunts me to this day from old Instagram.
I think if you scroll to the very bottom of my Instagram, I might have some that I was like, I'm keeping these because this was just life back then, not when I was like doing photography. I think it's my kids or my dog or something at the bottom.
Right.
Anyways, I do cry a little tear sometimes when I see a photo posted, and whether by mistake, like I said, it's super easy to go post and then like swipe a filter by mistake. And then they tag me in it, and I'm like, oh, all those hours at the computer. And then all of a sudden, there's a filter on it. I'm like, that
Like
is not my style. That's not my
your
stuff.
skin tone like is gone, your
Yeah.
like there's no
Every
highlights
night, like,
anymore,
yes.
like everything is just gone, gone,
Yeah.
gone. Yeah, I know, I know. And
It's
I
sad.
mean, it is sad, it is sad, but this is why it's important to find a photographer that kind of jives with your idea of what photos should look like. And that's why there are
100%.
also different price points, because you're paying for the experience, you're paying for the years that it took them to learn how to not only handle a high quality camera, but also how to edit them and how to make them look good digitally and in print, right? Like that's another thing that people don't think about, is that if you don't know anything about how visually these things work, you don't understand how colors work and that they're different on a screen, different in print. And also, if you're getting really high-end photos, and correct me if I'm wrong, don't go to Walmart to print them.
Oh, thank you. That's in my contract, to be honest.
You can't do that because they don't print right. The colors are off, everything is off, the settings are not the same. You're
I would say
literally
don't
throwing
print
money
your
away.
photos where you buy your bananas. Like
Yes, yes.
it now, yeah. So then people will ask, well, where do you print? Well, my studio specifically focuses on, I don't know if you can see kind of behind me here if you're on,
Yeah.
my studio focuses on printed art. So I have lineup of canvas and wood art and framing and all of that kind of stuff because I know I've worked for years with this printer, and I know the consistency of them. Again, that word consistency. I know how they print and I know how they print my images, and they print as I see them on my computer and as I edit them. And I know when I get them, they print like that. Whereas, unfortunately, locally to us, there's nowhere that can provide that consistency in their printing. Yeah, so I 100% agree. It's lots to know
To
about that when
unpack
you're hiring a
there,
photographer. Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. So what, I guess we're having such a great time. I completely missed my halfway intro. Because now we are past halfway. So, for anybody that's tuning in, you are listening to Negotiating Happiness, and I am your host, Adriana Fierstro. And we are live on the United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network at 105.3 and 107.7 FM in the beautiful city of New Orleans. I am here with Ashley Bradley from Yellow Brick Road Photography and Simply Curated Co. And we are talking everything from, entrepreneurship journey to self-doubt, self-taught, and everything in between. I was just about to ask, Ashley, what makes this all worth it for you? Like, as an entrepreneur, you go through these crazy ups and downs. You have to balance, like life, parenting, and we sort of forget that we're an individual as well. So I want to know what makes it worth it for you as an individual to do this. Like, what are kind of there's trade-offs, right, when we do
Right.
this.
So for me, I've gotten to a point in my business where I can schedule my sessions to be able to maximize my family time. So my husband works shifts, and they're long shifts, 12-hour shifts generally. So he's gone from 4 in the afternoon till 4 in the morning, or 5 in the morning till about 5 at night. So I pretty much am doing it all for the kids, getting them off to school, picking them up from school, and generally getting them to most of their sporting events. My kids are very athletic, so they are in a lot, like generally 5 days a week, if not more. I'm somewhere driving. I am their personal Uber driver. So I've gotten to a point in my business where I'm able to capture what I want to capture. So I take on sessions and stuff and work, and whether that's in town or out of town. And I've worked my days so that my sessions end before my kids are done school. Now, am I still working in the evening times when they're in bed? Probably yes, because I want to be at their events. So I manage my time so that I can be home. We do dinner and then we do a sporting event. And then I come home and I generally then work in the evening, which is fine because then that means I'm there, I'm their cheerleader, I get to see them, score goals and do whatever. Was that the goal always? I guess so. I didn't know, obviously, when I first started, when they were like, one, two, three, four, I didn't know that this was going to be the journey that they would keep me so busy in the evening times. I think the goal then was, when they were little, was to be able to have flexibility. I didn't know what that meant yet, but now that they're older, that means that I can choose to work specific days of the week. I can be at their tournaments out of town because I know that Fridays generally are going to be that. So I generally work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, office day on Monday. And I have a lot of flexibility too if they're sick or anything like that. So I think the overall entrepreneurial goal, and I don't want to speak for everyone, but I feel like that is flexibility. It is, if you are a parent, that you want to have that flexibility to be able to be at your kids' things or with them in the evening or whatever. So I feel like I've locked out. I figured out that little secret key, and I figured out how to kind of make that work. I don't know. I always think I'm like, what would I do if I was if I went back to a corporate job? How would that work? And honestly, it stresses me out because I don't know how I could keep my kids doing the same thing that they love if I went back and did something else. Do you know? So I'm so happy that I love what I do and they get to love what they do. And my poor husband has to work 12 hours, but that's it. That was his decision. But yeah, so that works out for us, and I'm so happy with that.
What kind of refuels you? What kind of things do you do for yourself that may can get you to show up all refreshed and ready to go?
Oh my. I don't know about refresh. No. I also really do make a point of doing self-care. So often I'll be sharing on my stories that I'm, popping over to, I don't want to make it sound like I'm going to the spa all the time, but I generally save up and do a nice little spa trip once a year for myself. Weekly, I know when to turn it off. When it's just getting a little bit, everything is just a bit much, I know to turn it off. And if I just need to have a day where I'm literally just scrolling nonstop, then that's fine. That's what I do. Like I'll just, TikTok and reality TV shows are my guilty pleasure. So if it means
it.
I'm just plunking down on the couch and that is my self-care for that week or that day, I'm fine with that. I don't need to be at some, fancy spa somewhere, but I do tend to. That's what I like, so I tend to save up for that and, hit the spas that are kind of local. So massages,
I think
massages.
it's okay for, massages. Honestly, I have to go get massages just to be able to function. So they're
Oh,
not always like
relax.
spa-like. They're very much like get in there. No, I think it's okay for people to do what they like, even though there's this sort of, idea that, oh, that's just so fancy. It's not. First of all, you don't know what the other person is giving up or what they're, like you said, you save up for it, you do whatever. And it also kind of gets rid of that, moms have a lot of guilt. It's like, okay, well, you're spending this money here instead of there, blah, blah, blah. We need to stop. Like, we just need to stop assuming that we can just put all of our personal needs in this like pit of despair and like, bury it and just tend to everybody else. Because if you don't tend to yourself, you can't be there for your kids, your husband, your
100%.
business, your clients. So it's okay to do that. Obviously, it's whatever people feel, good about. Sometimes people like to travel. I like to travel. It's not cheap, but it's something that, literally reignites my fire to do this all over again for the next, 8 months to a year. So it's just is what it is. I think it's okay for people to talk about it. I think it's okay for people to, other moms to see like, hey, maybe I could do this. Maybe this will be worth it for me too. I'm super thankful to have a platform where we can talk about all about like the good, the bad, the ugly, the pretty, the, and you are in a visual industry too, and places like Instagram tend to curate this image that sometimes doesn't reflect reality, right? So I think
100%.
it's okay to talk about it, right?
Yeah. Oh, I have been, I'm pretty honest on my Instagram. Now, I do keep it fairly happy. I don't dive into anything
Oh, yeah.
too crazy over there, but there's definitely been times where, I've shed tears, mostly happy tears or whatever, thankful tears, but I'm pretty relatable in that where I'm not all like sunshine and rainbows. Like I put in my captions like this happened and this crazy story, and people relate to that and reply to that. And I feel like a lot of the time my posts that do well are the ones that people are engaging and replying, like, oh, this happened to me too, or I did this, or my husband did this. And so it does make a difference when you're being real and not just showing constant happy, happy, happy. Like I think there's been a major shift in that, which is great. Like I think to be relatable now, you have to be real. You can't just be, all fuzzy and warm. You've got to be real. So,
Authenticity for sure. I think it really does matter, and it also kind of again weeds out the people that don't think that that don't agree with you, or the people that wouldn't be good fit to work with anyway, right? And it's such a, I don't want to say privilege because privilege implies that somebody just handed this to you, but it's, I understand that some people never get to this point, which is hard. But as entrepreneurs, the moment you can turn away work because it doesn't align with who you are is such a freeing, liberating moment that this is where that authenticity comes in too, to make sure that you continue on having those clients that do match with what it is that you want to do, say, and all of that. So that's really, really great. Tell me a little bit more about your mentorship sort of
Options.
projects that you have. Yeah.
Yeah, so I offer Zoom mentoring right now. So we won't be doing any sort of in-person stuff anytime soon, but it's a future goal, I think. But Zoom mentoring is always available. There is a link on my Yellow Brick page where you can kind of click through that and choose an option that works best for you. It's an option to kind of ask a question. So when I first started, the reason I sort of brought this mentoring to be is when I first started, I was in love with this one photographer's work, and I was just like following her and not meaning to copy her at all, but I needed to know how to get over certain hurdles. And I thought, oh, she's gonna help me. She totally knows what she's doing, obviously. And I messaged and was met with like such like, meh. And I'm like, oh, like I don't understand that. Like I didn't understand. Now, years later, I understand because she was like, oh, she's gonna totally copy me. Like, I get it now, but then I didn't understand. So, the way that I've made the mentoring is I've made it super easy. If you've got one question you just need to answer, like if you're just stuck in Lightroom, or like you're like, how do I do this for my business? Or how do I grow here? What do I, and you're like, who do I ask? Like, I can ask a business coach who just, maybe as an overall business coach, or I can
General,
like dive into who would be able to help me. So that is an option. You can literally just ask one question. There's options to add on to that as well and ask additional questions or book more time. And I'm really thorough in it because I don't want to just answer your question and then be like, see you later. I really want to kind of follow up and make sure that we're doing a full circle mentoring. So that option is there. And that is on my Yellow Brick page, but it's not specifically just for family photographers. It's for photographers in general. Obviously, I have experience in branding and children and family and all that kind of stuff. So it would probably be someone gearing towards that
The
specific
field.
photography style. But yeah, so that's sort of what I have in the works for mentoring. One day I'll probably do in-person mentoring, but I haven't figured out where I want to do that just yet. The other, can I share another little thing that I'm working on?
Totally.
So the other thing is we just moved into a new studio. So this is my studio that's actually on my property is where I'm at right now. But I have another studio that's about twice the size now, and the vision for that was to have a space where I could rent that out to other creative entrepreneurs. So, not necessarily photographers, but you could, I guess, more like businesses that just need a short-term space. You know, let's say you're running yoga classes for 8 weeks and you need Wednesday night, you need a space to do that. Let's say you're holding a CPR class or you want to do a drawing class or anything like that, a workshop, a class, a meeting. It's a beautiful, bright space. And I'm really hoping that other entrepreneurs can utilize that because that was another hurdle that I had when I first started. I didn't have a studio right off. And I was literally capturing out of my master bedroom. I had to take apart my master bed every time I had a session, walk my clients up 3 flights of stairs to my bedroom, and capture their session. That's literally how I started. And once I finally got a studio, I realized it's hard to find a space that is clean, bright, reliable. And when I got to the point where I could actually potentially provide that for other entrepreneurs, I was like, yes, this is a beautiful space that could be used for so many different varieties. So that is just a new thing that we're kind of launching. That'll fall under my Simply Curate brand, and entrepreneurs can rent it by the hour, short term.
That's amazing. You've just totally got my brain working here, and I have to talk to you after because we might be able to collaborate on that.
Perfect, perfect.
That's great. I also wanted to go back to what you were talking about mentorship. So, when I first started out, and I started out kind of as a VA, not as an OBM. I think a lot of people start out that way. There are a lot of VAs out there because working from home was kind of, what happened after COVID, so it made sense to a lot of people, and I get that. So when you do look like you have your things together, people tend to want to ask questions and whatnot. I've always been really open about things. However, the reason why you should do it the way you're doing it with consults is because it takes time. So at first, when I just didn't know any better, I would sit there and answer every question on Instagram and whatnot. And I don't think that that would ever, take my clients away from me. I think there's enough space for everybody in this, digital space. But it was such a time suck. And it was crazy the amount of people that would just message me randomly. And it still happens today. I do get a lot more, requests from coaches and whatnot these days, but you do get the random person that's just starting out that wants information. So I think there's a different way to approach it. I'm a big believer in making biz besties, right? Like have business friends because they go through the same things as you and you can help each other out. You can develop these relationships. You're not asking strangers. Mentorship is the next best thing because if you don't know where to start, that person is already open to this line of communication. So this makes total sense to me. But there are people out there who don't appreciate the fact that it took you years to get where you are. And it took I say this too about guests that come on here. I totally appreciate everybody that comes on here because it's an hour of their time and they get to tell us about all of these different ups and downs and all of these conclusions that took them, 50 times the time that it takes us to actually say it, to figure out. This is, you're talking from experience. This is something that people can take in and absorb and learn something from, right? And it's crazy to me how we still don't value each other's time. It happens a lot in service-based businesses, I find, because you're not
I
walking
think,
away with something physical or a product, right?
right. I think what you want to keep in mind if you are sort of newer in a space, and even me, I wouldn't go right now to look for answers from somebody who's at the same level as me, who's been doing it the same amount of time. I think you always want to go to somebody who is at least 10 to 20% higher or seemingly higher than you are, or in a space that you want to be. Those are where you want to ask your questions to. So would I entertain somebody? Now I do have some specifications also in mind where there's a region, you have to be within a certain distance away or whatever. I kind of put that in place as a safeguard, but I think you want to. If you're new, you're going to want to look for somebody. And I think you have to expect nowadays that you're going to pay for knowledge. I think that would be silly to think. Now, I also have a lot of the time people saying, in my DMs, like, how do you do that? Or like, how do you do this? And I used to kind of give short answers, and I also feel like that was like rude. I'm like, oh, they're gonna think I'm just giving them a short answer. Then there'd be sometimes where I would send them a video. I'm huge on video, so I would send them a video reply back and kind of go all into it. And I'm like, oh, that was also like, did I care that much? Like, did I go too far? So I figured out that now I just have a link, and it goes right to a PDF that it kind of explains. So if they're like, how do you do this? I get emails too from newer photographers, which is great. And I'm just like, absolutely would love to help you out. Here is my link to book a time. Choose which option works best. And I think that's fair. I think they should know to expect that you're going to pay for coaching and mentoring. And even if it's just one question, it's still my time. And I don't treat it as one question. I treat it as like, okay, here's your answer, maybe the little write-up and all of that. So you get some information with it.
Yeah, it's a little bit more robust than just kind of sending one. But even actually opening up your DMs and looking at them and putting all that together, it still takes time. So it's such a great way to do it. Well, it's almost time. And I can't believe it just kind of flew by here. So thank you so
It was good
much.
chatting with you. Yeah.
I pasted some links in the comments. If you guys want to check out Yellow Brick Road Photo, you can find her on Instagram, you can find her on her website. There's also Simply Curate Co., which is we went a little bit over the website there. I loved those photos, the
Thank
branding
you.
photos. Thank you so much for all of the knowledge that you're imparting. And I'm excited for your new projects. We definitely have to talk.
Perfect.
And thank you to everybody who tuned in. We were also live on Instagram and six or
Yay.
seven other platforms.
Amazing.
And thank you to the United Public Radio Network for giving us this platform. And we will see everybody next week. Ashley, please come back to us in a couple months or whenever you have some projects going
For
on that you want to
sure.
tell us about. Again, thank you so much and have a wonderful rest of your week, everybody.